WGN. And at 6:41, we check in with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great. You know, it's a little strange. It's 6:40 and we're seeing some sunlight here.
So. How about that? Well, starting this Wednesday, all 11 of Illinois' regions are going to be operating under the governor's COVID-19 restrictions. Based on what you're seeing and what you're hearing from colleagues at other hospitals, Dr. Most, do you think we're going to be in this spiked stage for a while yet?
Yeah, Bob, unfortunately, I think we are. You know, I think we've probably passed the tipping point that we're going to be able to slow this down as quickly as we had hoped. You know, we look at projections here at Northwestern about a 7 to 10 day window, and we know what's going to happen, or we think we know what's going to happen for that point. Other health systems are looking at it much longer, and I talked to a couple of my colleagues on Friday that their long-term projections see this peaking in December. So if that's true, we have a long run in front of us, but we see definitely the spikes coming, you know, even out here in DuPage County, where we've seen a large spike in the past 2 weeks. We expect to continue that to go up.
It's getting to be that time of year when kids are going to be coming back from college, many of them anyway, for the holidays. And people are wondering if a college student has had COVID and recovered and they're fine now, how long could they still be a carrier?
Yeah, so there's two questions there. One is, how long can they be a carrier? Two, can they still be exposing people? And three, do they personally have immunity? And those are three questions that we wish we had great answers for. A lot of schools, U of I especially, doing a great job in testing. One of the things, many schools don't have a plan for the end of coming into Thanksgiving as far as what's going to happen. So I'm telling any schools that'll listen, test the kids before they leave for Thanksgiving so at least you'll know they're positive. As far as I had it, you know, can I still carry it? We know that really after 10 to 14 days, you may test positive still, but you're probably not going to be contagious. So we'd be looking at those individuals who got sick just before Thanksgiving to come back. That being said, we don't want them to come home with this false sense of security that I'm fine now and I don't need to wear a mask and I can do whatever I'd like.
I'll tell you what a lot of people are going to be wondering about as well coming up this weekend. Temperatures are going to moderate. They're talking about upper 60s for the weekend. And then there's the question of, okay, I can't go inside to a restaurant, but not too cold out, so I'll sit outside. How safe are those tents? What should you look for? I believe the state or the city mandates at least two openings in a tent, but a lot of people questioning if you're under a tent and there are heaters in there, is that really that much safer than being inside?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest concerns is we don't have any air circulation pattern in a tent. So although, you know, the rule is two sides are supposed to be up, I can assure you that those are going to get tightened down as it gets colder and they still want to do business. You know, this is the one that I struggle with and wish that really during the summer we would have taken a bigger focus on air circulation in restaurants so that we could show that we're diluting the air. That's exactly what happens outside. Essentially, the wind and the air move around so much that the virus can't be spread, just like we know if we're outside. So we wish we would have looked at that a little bit closer than clamping down like this. But right now, I would look and say, boy, if you go into a tent and all the sides are down, or there's only a few small openings, you know how stifling that can get, and that's exactly what we want to stay away from.
Continuing with Northwestern's Dr. Kevin Most, and Doc, as you know, there is a lot of pandemic fatigue, and what with the time change, it gets dark early, winter upon us, restaurants closed, people are more isolated. Just how serious is depression right now along with the pandemic? What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's interesting, Bob. We're going to put the words pandemic and fatigue together and use them totally different than we have in the past. You know, pandemic fatigue the last couple of weeks has been, I'm forgetting to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. I want to be out in big crowds. But now we really have to start looking at the impact of the time change and seasonal affective disorder, which we know comes on right now. This is interesting. You know, a lot of seasonal affective disorders cared for by primary care physicians and having some conversations as well as reading in the newspapers and the articles recently about it. There's two thought processes here. One is, boy, this is going to be a difficult year for them. Just because of the stress, the anxiety of everything that's gone already with COVID, and they already may have started some unhealthy habits. Increased use of alcohol, we know, has gone on. Increased unhealthy eating has gone on during COVID. So there's that side. And then we have the other side that says, wait a second, this may not be a bad year for people with seasonal affective disorder. They may be able to work from home and get outside and get some natural sunlight.
Might be easier. That's a good thought. I like that.
Might be easier to follow a schedule. They've already had restrictions that have allowed them or forced them to do things in their home that they haven't done. They may be reading more. They may be painting. They may have a new puppy. They've also been forced to do home exercise. So all of the things, it's kind of this balance of, wow, is this going to be a worse year or a better year for seasonal affective disorder? So the jury's still out, but the doctors are very aware of it.
One thing that would help, a Bears winning streak, don't you think?
I do. You know, and Dave Edditt has to be very proud of his Northwestern Wildcats and their win.
So we got that helps, right?
That's uplifting.
Right there.
We're also hearing a lot about people who have had the virus, never required hospitalization. They weren't badly hit initially, but then they have problems down the road. What do we know about this now? Do we know any more about this?
Well, we're starting to learn every day a little bit more and more. You know, a lot of people have probably heard the term long haulers. Those are the individuals that do have the illness, have somewhat, I don't want to say minor symptoms, but symptoms that aren't to a point where they're put in the hospital, and yet they're going to continue with coughing. They're going to have fatigue. They'll have body aches. They'll have joint pain. They could have some shortness of breath. Brain fog is probably one of the biggest ones. And even when we break those down, we're starting to look at it and say, okay, is it just due to the inflammation and the illness, or has the immune system now kind of changed a little bit to start attacking the bones, attacking the muscles? It's been turned on so much that we're looking at, boy, is there something we're going to have to do to modulate that? The chronic, the big ones that we're obviously concerned about are those that have been in the hospital, have very bad lung damage and heart damage, that you know, we're going to have long-term effects for them for major health versus the potentially irritating cough or fatigue that they may have.
Not everyone is going to have a virtual Thanksgiving. Many people are trying to plan a get-together and remain safe. And we're getting a lot of questions like this, Dr. Most. I have a number of texts and emails along the lines of this question. Bob, please ask the doc about this. We have family coming in for Thanksgiving. Do we all have to quarantine if we have been exposed to the public, but not necessarily anyone with COVID?
Well, I would just tell people to watch the positivity rate in the state. You think about it, if you have 10 people over and the positivity rate is 20%, even though you may know them well and been around them, you know, there's a good chance that two of those individuals are going to be there. With the CDC's change on exposure being 15 minutes, not cumulative, not at one time, but cumulative, I know my Thanksgiving celebrations with my family, I would have been exposed to every single one of them for more than 15 minutes. So it really is starting to get to a point of concern. The other thing we're concerned about with Thanksgiving meals and Thanksgiving celebrations is there's often a vulnerable population that's present, whether it's be a grandmother, an aunt that's older, someone who's actually ill. So I would just tell people, be extremely careful. People are not going to want to wear masks in a home at a Thanksgiving. They're going to say, well, you know what, I'm drinking or I'm eating continuously with hors d'oeuvres and then the meal. So we're going to really start to see a laxity in the mask wearing, and you just hate to have a super spreader event at your own family that can cause long-term problems.
Now with the colder weather, there's really no excuse because the mask, it feels good when you're wearing it now in this kind of weather. And I was thinking about this over the weekend. Wearing a mask is not being politically correct. It's being correctly concerned about your health and the health of others. And I saw a great, I don't remember if this was on a t-shirt or somebody posted this. This line stuck in my head. Wearing a mask is better than wearing a ventilator. And we've got to underscore that again now because, as you mentioned earlier, people are sometimes getting fatigued with all this and maybe not remembering to wear a mask. But it's still the best weapon we have, isn't it?
100%, Bob. And think about when you were growing up, seatbelts were, what's a seatbelt? Now we don't even think about it when we get in the car and we put a seatbelt on. And we know that seatbelts work kind of the same way masks do. If you use it, it will work. And coming into the winter now, you know, there's been some decent studies coming out showing that the three-ply gaiters are actually very good. The gaiter is the thing that kind of goes around your neck. And in the winter, it's great. It acts as a scarf as well, and you can pull it up and take it down. But make sure you don't get a thin one if you're going to get that. So a lot of people are looking towards the three-ply or thicker gaiters as we go into the winter because it will be much more comfortable.
Is it easier to get a COVID test around here now?
Well, it is, but it's going to get tougher, I think. As the numbers go up, we're going to start to see the stress on these testing companies, although we've had more and more companies come out with opportunities to test. We have capabilities even here at Central DuPage to do, you know, somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 tests a day. But we're starting to run into constraints with pipettes and reagents. So as we get stressed with some of this, the supplies, we may start to see it a little bit more difficult. But certainly we hope that that doesn't. But as you can see, look at our testing rates and look at our positivity. We know that the need is there.
Let's all go outside and at least stand in the sun and get some vitamin D today. That wouldn't be a bad idea, would it?
It can't. You're absolutely right, Bob. And people with seasonal affective disorder, you know, whether you get the full-blown SAD or you just get the winter blues, vitamin D has been shown to not only help your immune system, but at this time really helps for depression as well. So I tell people all the time, during the summer you don't need a vitamin D supplement. This is the time for the next 5 months. Take a vitamin D supplement every day, and it will definitely help not only your bone strength, but your immune system, as well as your mental health.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Always good to visit with you, and we'll look forward to chatting next Monday. Have a great week, Doc.
You got it, Bob. Take care.